It's gonna be scary. Not for us.
All engine running. Liftoff.
Start on Thompson, steps right, shoots for the win of three. He got it! He got it!
This ain't my first rodeo.
Westbrook to the basket. Turns Schroeder around. Russell Westbrook.
His house, the three and the lead. You betcha.
Covington, biggest shot of the game, and he hits it. The corner.
PJ Tucker.
Gordon by Gordon Ranch.
It's time to accomplish something together that we haven't accomplished before.
We both understand that we have one common goal, and that's to win a championship, so.
Let's get it.
Let's get it. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I am your host, Jackson Gatlin. You can find me on Twitter at JT Gatlin. And of course, you can also find our show on Twitter at Locked On Rockets. And hey, if you guys appreciate what we do here at Locked On Rockets, do me a huge favor. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Himalaya, Stitcher, wherever you listen to your podcast. If you could please do me a favor, subscribe to us, drop us some stars, leave us a review if you've got the time. I would sincerely appreciate it. And above all else, please share the podcast on all your social media platforms. Tell a friend about the podcast. Tell your parents about the podcast. That's how we get out there. We get more listeners and we can keep this podcast going strong every day. I hope you guys are as excited for the second half of the season as I am. I hope the new intro got you guys a little bit hyped up for the back half of this Rockets 2019-2020 season. I do have a couple quick hitting things that I need to get to before we get to our guest on today's episode, and maybe a peek behind the curtain of podcasting, as it were, so to speak. So first, a couple quick hitters. Eric Gordon will be questionable for the game returning after the All-Star break against the Golden State Warriors, so he may or may not play in that game. A name that should be available is Bruno Caboclo will be available for this game. So we may get our very first look at Bruno as the new small ball five in this small ball rocket system. In addition to those two names, Damari Carroll and Jeff Green should both be available to play. I didn't catch an official signing as of late Wednesday evening recording this. Didn't catch an official signing for Damari Carroll, so unless if that happens Thursday morning or afternoon, I don't know what the timetable is off the top of my head for when he has to be signed to be able to then play in a game, but it's been reported that he should be available. So the hope is that both of those guys will be available. Bruno will definitely be available, so it'll be the first look at this new and improved and bolstered version of the Houston Rockets small ball squad. Now for the peek behind the curtain, so to speak, I have a guest on the podcast today, and I will introduce him here very shortly. However, when I do the guests, sometimes I record them remotely, sometimes I record them in the studios at Sports Talk 790, and I happen to record with this guest at the 790 studios. Now, usually what I do is I record this little guy, this intro that I'm doing right now, I usually record that before sitting down with the guest as a courtesy just to get it out of the way. That way they don't have to sit around and hear me yap about subscribing to the podcast, right? So I did that, and then I recorded with the guest, and then I left after emailing myself the recording. Only I didn't stitch them together. So I left the studio without my intro bit recorded. So I'm re-recording my intro bit. And the worst part was, is normally I cut the intro in a smart spot. I don't like tack on the little, how's it going today? I did that in this one. So my guest had to open the regular recording by responding to said question. So now I have to, alone at my apartment, have to say, how's it going today, Adam Clanton of Sports Talk 790 and Rockets Radio Network? How are you doing today?
Doing very well. I would like it if I had been able to watch a Rockets game in over a week, but that's how the NBA schedule makers doled it out.
Did you actually check out any of the All-Star Weekend festivities? Or
This is probably the least amount I have ever watched. I always make it a point to, and not surprisingly, I have a 16-month-old child that coincides with me not seeing as much of the All-Star game weekend or the All-Star festivities as I would have liked. But yeah, it was what I did see. I saw Aaron Gordon get robbed in the dunk contest.
Yeah, we're on the same page there.
And I did see a different format in the game that was made it interesting. And that's honestly, that's all you can ask for, because there's still enough events, I think, you know, sandwiched or crammed into that weekend's festivities that are just not interesting. And it doesn't matter what you do to them. I mean, look at the dunk contest. You feel like everything's been done, and then a guy does a dunk that you haven't seen before, and he comes in second. And dunks that made it interesting.
A 7'5" human being comes in second. Yeah, I mean, I kind of hashed this out on a previous podcast already, but I mean, yeah, the NBA is at the forefront of innovation when it comes to taking chances and taking risks and, you know, trying to just have fun with their game. But something that I've saved, which, you know, some of the listeners, you guys might be wondering, you know, why hasn't Jackson mentioned this yet specifically on the podcast? Bill Simmons. We were going to talk last week.
And I toe-tagged him on Twitter last week.
Had to rain check our meetup last week. But I wanted to save this Bill Simmons discussion just for you. Why is it that Bill Simmons has such a hatred for Houston sports?
I don't know. It started, so, you know, and you say Houston sports, and that's accurate because it's not just limited to the Rockets. He's known as the, you know, the basketball guy, and that being his first love, the NBA. But this started, and full disclosure, I started reading Bill Simmons on something that maybe you don't even know existed. Page 2 of ESPN. Do you even know what that is or was?
I don't know what that is.
Once upon a time, when ESPN's website, you know, ESPN.com's website, the layout was much different, like everything. You know, it's just smoother these days and easier, you know, easy to be accessible. This is going to be probably 2003, 2004, 2005 in that range where I'm reading this guy that I think is hilarious and he loves the NBA as much as I do. In fact, he made a joke. I'm one of the 9 diehard NBA fans on the planet. This is long before millennials made it trendy to watch NBA basketball. This is long before this was actually in the infancy of – this is like LeBron's rookie years. Rookie second year.
Yeah,
so
sounds about right.
It was in that transition period that was real difficult for the NBA where, like, the Spurs won the NBA championship in a lockout shortened 50-game season. And you had
the NBA wasn't as sexy. Jordan had just, retired?
Yeah.
You know, and they were kind of in this limbo.
That was it. That was the flux. You were looking for the next big thing, like Brock Lesnar. You were looking for the next MJ. So this is when all that is happening, and you have a guy that is talking about a sport that just is not at the top of everyone's conversation when it comes to sports. The NFL was king, as usual. Major League Baseball, you know, during season, got a lot of run. The NBA just always seemed to be shelved. So anyways, going back to that, I've been following his career since then, long before he became a douche on HBO and all the other stuff that he ended up doing and basically pissing off everybody inside of Bristol. And that book, you ever read his book?
I have not.
I mean, he took some serious shots at a company that I believe he was still working for at the time. So there's a lot of back history about Bill Simmons and who he used to be versus who he is. I was actually texting with somebody inside the Rockets organization who thinks that, you know, he thinks the money might have gone to his head. So take all of that before I say what I'm about to say. That guy, I mean, he came here for the Super Bowl in 2004. It was on my birthday in 2004. It's the first time I've ever gone to Radio Row. I met The Rock. It was a great day. And I come out and I start reading Bill Simmons talking about the experience. And he hated Houston because the weather was awful. Well, what city in America in the middle of February is going to give you great weather? Miami? That's about it. Those are your options. San Diego, Miami, right? And if you're in Houston, it's going to rain. We're right here next to this thing called Gulf of Mexico out here, and it clashes with cold air, and you get rainstorms. That's going to happen. So it wasn't -5 degrees outside like it was when I went to Minneapolis a couple years ago, but Bill Simmons has had that for a while. And so fast forward to this last week, and he's watching the Rockets, and he's talking about how much he hates it. But he's saying that as they're playing, Portland?
It was the Lakers.
The Lakers game, that's
first
right.
First game after the trade deadline, yeah.
Right, which isn't the first game that they played small ball for all the casuals out there. It's not even close to it. Clint Capella had been sitting out for games, weeks.
Yeah.
So they were forced to play small
ball.
Yep. Long before they dealt him, and by the way, he's not playing anytime soon. If you haven't checked Twitter these days, he's not playing for another couple of weeks. They're going to check him out. So that trade's already paying off, at least in the near term. But he was upset about the small ball. And, you know, wouldn't you know it, 24 hours later, 48 hours later, however long it was till they played the Celtics, he's back at it again. And I'm like, well, I thought you weren't going to watch them. You hated it so much. And here you are tweeting multiple tweets about the Houston Rockets. And look, do I think they are primed to win the NBA championship by playing small ball? Well, I can't say that I do because no one's ever done it. I mean, you can talk about the Warriors playing small ball, but they still had bigs. They still had traditional, big men on the floor.
7 foot tall Kevin Durant, who right. doesn't like to be called 7 feet tall. They had DPOY Draymond Green. Like, you have
go big. Back earlier though. Yeah. You had Andrew Bogut. The number one pick in the draft who set all those illegal screens for Klay and Steph to get the three-pointers. That was a traditional center out there. You think he was running up the floor and enjoying it? No. So no one's ever really done what they're trying to do, which makes it must-watch TV. I'm not even saying that as a Rockets fan. I'm saying that as an NBA fan. This experiment, look at what Kendrick Perkins is saying, a guy who actually played in the league. Look at what
Was a traditional center.
Who was a traditional center.
He wouldn't have a role on this team if he was here.
Look at what people who don't have an agenda or don't get their Rockets news from First Take on ESPN. Look at people who actually watch Rockets games, not NBA games, watch Rockets games and what they're saying about the Rockets before you kind of form your opinion on this. Bill Simmons is just comes off as a blowhard.
He really does, and it's frustrating because as one of the most influential voices in the basketball landscape, you would hope that he would be a little bit more unbiased. And I forget who he was talking to in one of his most recent podcasts. The reason I narrowed it down instead of just saying, why does he hate the Rockets and why does he hate Houston, is because he was in there and he cracked some joke about, what's worse for sports, the Houston Rockets or the Houston Astros. And it's just at this point, it's becoming ridiculous. The hate that the city of Houston receives on all fronts. I know you are fatigued about it. I was listening to A-Team on the drive over. I know you're fatigued. You're tired of talking Astros cheating scandal, and the Rockets have dealt with their fair share of media hate for years. It's becoming exhausting, though.
Well, I mean, the Astros brought that on themselves, so that's the first thing you have to say. You're going to cheat illegally versus cheating legally, stealing signs legally, to go to the extreme depths that they went to do what they were doing. You're going to bring that on yourself. But right up until that, the Astros, I would argue, were one of the more likable teams. You might have not liked the way Alex Bregman's dugout stares kind of rubbed you the wrong way if you were an opposing team. But the Astros, for all intents and purposes, and to this day, I would say this about Jose Altuve, for example, one of the most likable guys in all of Major League Baseball. A guy that you indeed could have your kids try to emulate if you're into that sort of thing. The Houston hate, I try not to say that too much. I try not to go there too much because
it makes it sound like homers is the first problem.
It makes it sound like that, and it also just kind of it cheapens the whole experience as far as like debate and that kind of thing, because if you already have that attitude going in, you're not going to really be able to have an open discussion with somebody. But it's hard sometimes when you see some of the things that are being said, and that's before the Astros. Now the Astros have happened, and it's open season. The Jeff Passans of the world, the Marley Rivera, even if it's not Marley coming up with that the scenario that she heard the other day where, the teams just don't play. They forfeit the games at Minute Maid.
Okay.
Like, okay, great, you heard that from a player. And maybe you want to share it, but the way she shared it was as if, you should at least consider that. Like, it is open season. It comes off as a witch hunt, even if it isn't. And my thing is, I have people saying, well, you're defending cheaters. No, what I'm defending is, first of all, the fans that are being told you need to show remorse. For what? They didn't cheat. All they did was watch a horrible natural disaster come through the city and wipe it off, and then a few months later felt good because a baseball team did something for the first time in over 50 years it had
graced
never done.
The city with a World Series championship. I mean, come on.
I don't understand what the fans are supposed to do. Are they supposed to erase it from their mind like Men in Black? Are they supposed to, what are they supposed to do? And why are you, dude over here on Twitter, so upset at Astros fans? If you want to be mad at the players, if you want to be mad at AJ Hinch and Jeff Luno and Jim Crane for being tone deaf, that's all fair game. I see entirely too much of pile-on on Astros fans who are simply saying, no, we're not going to not root for our team just because you said so. It's just ridiculous.
you know, and regrettably, we derailed this first segment a little bit by going into, this isn't Locked On Astros. There is a Locked On Astros podcast. You guys can go check that out at Locked On Astros. But, you know, it makes sense. And kind of, we're going to hit this break here in just a second. And I want to come back and kind of talk about, you know, the likability of some players in the NBA. And specifically, you know, there's this new brewing, you know, beef between Giannis and James Harden, which it feels like it's kind of a one-sided situation. So we're going to get Adam's thoughts on that in just one second. But we're going to hit this break and be right back. And we are back in here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Chatting right now with Sports Talk 790's Adam Clanton. So Adam, you know, we did derail the last segment a little bit, which we didn't derail it talking about mayonnaise. Before we sat down to record, we thought we might derail the podcast talking about condiments.
One of the worst substances on the planet.
All right, well, that's all the talk we're going to do about condiments. But anyways, you know, we derailed it, but we did. It does make sense, right? You know, the Astros are facing a lot of hate from the masses, and at times over the previous years, the Rockets, and specifically James Harden, has received a lot of media hate. And right now, the NBA's golden boy, Giannis Antetokounmpo, is, you know, delivering some really unsavory behavior, wouldn't you say? I mean, so you said you didn't really get to see a lot of All-Star Weekend. Did you at least see the highlight of the cheap shot that he threw James Harden's way?
I did, and when you couple that with what I still believe was an unintentional but nonetheless very jarring image of the basketball full throttle thrown at James Harden's head by Giannis last season. Mm-hmm. And again, that looked like it was an accident, but then everybody on Twitter is like, oh, I'm so glad he did. Like, it's so bizarre. And that's, you know, the thing with James, he is just not your prototypical quote-unquote likable NBA player. He's very aloof. He does not have a demonstrative personality more often than not. He's not a guy whose old man YMCA game is necessarily the most aesthetically pleasing for what the, you know, network bigwigs want to see, or, you know, he's not a high-flying dunk artist.
I think the step backs are pretty sexy.
They're awesome.
I'm just going to throw that
out
there.
Yeah, I mean, go out there and try to do one, and you'll see how hard that
exactly.
is.
Exactly.
But you can't deny what his talent level is. And that's why I thought it was fascinating that a guy who I think beat him out for the MVP award in large part because he was just more likable to the media, which at the time I thought was very ironic because I didn't think he was, in Russell Westbrook, gets traded here and they're teamed together. And now that media that fawned over Russell Westbrook, you know, leading that narrative was set in motion that year.
Oh, yeah, the triple-double
like
narrative.
People forget, not even that. Was that not his first year? I guess it might have been the second year.
I think it was his second year
without KD.
Yeah.
But remember how much love he got when KD left simply because KD left? He didn't do anything. He was the same guy, surly with reporters, got into it with the one reporter in Oklahoma City. They had their running beef that's extended to this day. Just not quote-unquote a likable guy, in my opinion, at the time, any more than James Harden. I didn't care one way or the other. I just was like, my thing is, I don't like the double standards that I feel like the Rockets and specifically James Harden are the victims of a lot. Does James Harden always show up at the right moment? No. San Antonio in 2016 says he does not. Does James Harden make boneheaded turnovers during a game when I'm calling it with Craig and I want to pull my hair out because it just wasn't necessary to throw it through that traffic and try to get it to a big man.
Splitting the double team.
How many times he bounced past a Clint Capella and I'm like, what are you doing, dude? He's 7 feet tall. You don't do that. But, he's always trying to make the right play. The guy led the league in assists a couple of years ago with 11.2 on top of scoring the guy is the first guy since Jordan to average that many points. And yet, you're right, he's universally almost reviled outside of Houston as opposed to universally embraced by a guy, or like a guy in Giannis, who just won a playoff series for the first time last season. What do you always hear about James Harden? He's a playoff choker. Well, that guy has made it a lot farther than Giannis did every single year of both of their careers until not even a year ago. So he's airballing free throws in playoff games. He's getting outplayed by Joel Embiid. None of this criticism gets attached to him, you know, like a YouTube mixtape from 4 or 5 years ago saying that James Harden can't play defense. Read up, man. Go look at the stats. Go look at what happened when they targeted him in the All-Star game because Giannis said that's what they were trying to do. Yep. Try to post him up, and how many points did he get? Or did those players get? As many as I did that night. So I get it. He's not the most likable guy. But I just don't see him as the guy you want to vilify and tear down. I've never seen, like, this is the type of treatment that I would have expected for a guy like Bruce Bowen, who was openly trying to injure guys back in the day, yeah, stepping on their Achilles,
dirty player,
kicking them in the face, Wally Szczerbiak. Draymond Green, like, he gets way more love than James Harden. That's why it was so great when he dunked on Draymond in the playoffs.
Absolutely.
I lost my bleep. Like, it's just, it's maddening. And I think that it comes from a very petty place, but I've also gotten to the point where I'm in that acceptance stage. I mean, once I read the preview article by Zach Lowe, who I think is actually one of the good writers in the NBA, works for ESPN.com, once I read his NBA preview article last year, in which, and I'm paraphrasing, it said, you know, the voters basically were like, well, all right, we gave it to you last year. We finally voted you that award that you might have probably should have won the year before, but you didn't. But we're not going to revisit this again. That's the phrase he used. Like, we're done with it. You got your one. You and everybody else in Houston had better stop bitching about it. I'm not into that. Like, that, to me, is what he was talking about when a year later, someone asks him a question about the MVP award and narratives, and he answers it, and then he gets criticized for that. It's like, well, what do you want? What do you want him to do?
They're going
to
criticize him if he talks about it.
He's damned if he does.
Him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Damned if he does, damned if he doesn't. So, and, you know, kind of on top of that, kind of building off of that point, to me at least, and I don't know if you feel this way or if any of you guys listening feel this way, it is, while I'm upset that it feels like maybe there's not really going to be a period for it, because you look at Giannis and, you know, the way that he's playing, you look at Luka, who is, you know, almost a carbon fiber copy of James Harden, just a younger version.
It's uncanny.
It really is. And, you know, how good he has already become in just his second year, that guy's going to be competing for MVPs year in, year out very soon.
He's also universally embraced.
He is. You know, I've discussed this point too, that, you know, Luka is, you know, universally embraced for everything he does, and he literally plays the exact same style of basketball as James Harden. But where I was going with this is just, it's almost refreshing to me to not have to wake up every day and, like, pull up Twitter and, okay, did I defend James Harden and his MVP campaign, you know, today? Oh, haven't done that. Let me send out a couple tweets. It's kind of nice to not have that burden on our shoulders as a city to not worry about that this year.
I think if you were to ask him, and based on how he's playing, and I know he had a horrible January, all things considered, I think he's probably feels the exact same way. I know that he recently deleted his Instagram account, which shocking to me because he had over a million followers, I want to say.
I know sometimes players, like, they empty their Instagrams, like they'll, like, black them out or whatever, like delete all the posts and, like, you know, put a black image for them.
I was very upset when Halsey did that recently. I'm a big fan of her work.
Are you actually?
Oh, yeah, I actually am. Her Instagram work.
Okay. I was about to say, like, what? Okay.
I'm more of a fan of Halsey the performer, if you will.
Okay, there we go.
Versus right. Halsey the performer.
Hey, I appreciate the honesty.
There you go.
All right. But, you know, so obviously there's no MVP race this year, at least not in, or no MVP race that, you know, us Houstonians and us fans of the Rockets have to worry about. But, you know, we'll spend this final segment here in just one moment kind of going over the upcoming second half of the season, you know, some of our thoughts about the Rockets, you know, small ball, get Clanton's thoughts on how that looks, you know, what it may mean going into this final portion of the season here in just one second. So we'll be right back. You guys don't go anywhere. And we are back in here for our final segment at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Chatting with Sports Talk 790's Adam Clanton. He is also a member of the Rockets Radio Network, so you can hear him on the radio for every other game, basically.
Yeah, me and Wex split duties this year, which it hasn't been too bad. I've been able to spend a little bit more time with the new little guy. So,
how is the little guy doing?
He's a maniac. He's 16
so he's
months
like
old. Yeah, but he's unusually strong. Like, his mom bought him, like, this wrought iron basket with, like, a canvas cloth in it to, like, put toys in, and he picks it up and, like, puts it over his head and like walks around the house. And it feels like the scene in like the original Superman where like before Christopher Reeve like is the adult version of him when the, you know, the little pod crashes in the field and he's like lifting up the car.
Oh, and he's learning about his superpowers for the first time.
Yeah, like I want to put a red cape on him and nothing else because that's what he looked like basically when he got down to Earth and have him just, you know, because he's, yeah, he's great. First child for me, like first, you know, biological child for me. I have a stepdaughter who's 13, so there's this big gap, but she's kind of like, you know, inherited like the role of like big sister. Like she loves it, and she's almost like the third adult in the house. Well, the second one, because me and Carson are the two kids.
I was about to say you might be giving yourself a little bit too much credit there. No,
yeah, long-winded answer of saying he's great.
All right, so as we kind of head into this second half of the season, you've got yourself now, you know, and at times, you know, before he joined the Rockets, an avid Westbrook hater.
Oh yeah,
you know, Rockets
didn't delete a tweet, man.
No, no, neither did I. You know, a lot of people, the receipts are out there. You know, the concerns were valid, and they are still valid, even though he is now wearing a Rockets jersey, has done so for not 54 games. He played 45 games as a Rocket. What are your general opinions of Westbrook now that he's played 45 games in a Houston jersey?
First word that comes, like if you wanted to do word association, credit. And here's why. I'm not going to say everything he did that drove me crazy when he was not wearing red, he's completely eliminated. But one major thing he has, this guy does not shoot three-point shots hardly at all. He was jacking them up with reckless abandon in the first 20 to 25 games. He was coming off of knee surgery. He didn't have his wind, as I think we all can see now. I mean, the guy...
Yeah, hindsight's always 20/20.
I mean, he is... If Russell Westbrook isn't the guy that is your prototypical, stereotypical, this guy is going to be awful when his athleticism evades him, I don't know who is. But it hasn't yet. And this guy has had knee surgeries. I feel like I should be knocking on some wood. Best downhill player in the NBA. I mean, given his size relative to big man. I mean, Giannis, you can say that. But Giannis, you know, he bowling ball pins guys out of the way. Doesn't get called for the foul. He does basically what Shaq used to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Best downhill player in the NBA. When he's under control at being downhill, it's even scarier. Because how many points has he left literally at the rim?
Oh, he misses a lot of bunnies.
Because he's going too fast.
He is the dude. I've said it so many times that he goes like 110 at all times. And if he were to just dial it back to like 95, he'd still be faster than 99% of the league. And he'd probably make a few more of those layups.
I don't think, kind of like the step back three with Harden, don't go to like a park or a YMCA or wherever. Go onto an NBA floor sometime if you ever have the chance. And just imagine what it takes to go full speed, wire to wire, 94 feet with the best athletes in the world and make them look silly because you're blowing by all of them and then still have the ability to finish when you get to the other end. That's what he's doing. That's why they traded Clint Capella. They wanted him to be able to do that with reckless abandon and not have anybody clog up the middle. Is there other assets or, I mean, aspects to that deal? Of course. I think we all know what they could or could not be. I'm not going to get into all that because it's just, I don't think it matters because the Rockets can win this way. And I didn't know that I could say that before, but having seen it before they made the deal, having seen them bring in Robert Covington, having seen them, I think, get a sneaky signing in Damari Carroll. And to a lesser extent, Jeff Gray is a 10-day, and I don't know if he'll stick.
They've got five games to check it out and see if they
like it. Right, right. I mean, but Damari Carroll's not bad. Like
good veteran presence, yeah.
He's 1 year removed, 1 or 2 years removed from his highest point per game average, and essentially was just rotting on the Spurs bench because, I don't know. I mean,
because Popovich hates three-pointers.
Right, because Popovich essentially has watched the NBA game pass him by, and now that he doesn't have Tim Duncan and Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili in their primes to bail out that thinking or basically allow him to be stubborn, here he is. He doesn't look like the great. Now, I mean, nobody's questioning his credentials, but he really has looked stubborn. And I love the fact that Damari Carroll was, A, able to be given that opportunity, and B, how many of these buyout guys have said thanks but no thanks to the Rockets in the last couple of years.
It's nice to finally get a break.
Right. Like, yeah. And look, he's not... First of all, it's buyout market, so you're already kind of talking. You're kind of looking at it with the scrap heap,
the dregs
lens
of the NBA,
right? Yeah. But you doubt Daryl Morey to be able to find to get a five. I mean, look at Ben McLemore's career. It was dead on arrival when he got here. He is a functional NBA player with a pulse now. And because why? He played for the Rockets.
It's the system. Mike D'Antoni's system allows players to be the best versions of themselves.
And offensively.
So offensively. And well, hey, you know what? And honestly, with the switching scheme that is still very much in place, even though Jeff Bezalek is no longer part of the organization, you know, Elston Turner has inherited that same scheme and has, you know, they're amplifying it now with going all in on the small ball lineup. So, you know,
PJ Tucker might die.
He might, you know.
But it'll be fun watching it happen.
Right. No, PJ, you know, I've thrown around the gif from, what was it? The gif from Rocky. I can't remember the dude's name. You know, if he dies, he dies.
Ivan Drago?
Yeah, there we go. You know, I've thrown that gif around more times than I can count now since PJ Tucker's been nominated to be the starting center in the small ball lineup. But you're right. Damari Carroll, you know, 6'6", decent three-point shot. You know, not shooting the ball well with the Spurs, but, you know, career 36% three-point shooter, almost 39 or 40% from the corners, I believe. So he's a guy that's going to fit into the system perfectly. Now, you know, an interesting thing about this Rockets team under Mike D'Antoni is they have notoriously, they've performed really, really well in the second half of seasons. So dating all the way back to NBA's first season here, the 16-17 season, the team went 15-9 the second half of the season. Then in 17-18, they went 21-4.
That's the year they won 65 games.
Yeah. But then last year, which largely last year was viewed as kind of a struggling year for the most part, especially with the, you know, the 11-14 start, they finished the year 20-5 after the All-Star break. So do you think they have another big push in them?
Well, yes and no. I don't want to ride the fence here. It's weird because we're talking about the post Warriors juggernaut world where you don't have, I mean, the funny thing about saying that though is that they played the Warriors very well in the regular season most of the time. They would have one doozy where they'd get beaten by like 20. But for the most part, it was a lot of competitive games. And I'm talking about Warriors at full strength, that kind of thing. That team's not there now. And although the Lakers and their fans especially would like to fancy themselves, I think the Lakers have a lot of flaws. I think the Rockets actually might end up being a bad matchup for them now that we've seen them play once. Now, again, time will tell. But I don't think that if they run into the other team from L.A., that they're necessarily going to win that series. So that's just my opinion.
The Lakers or the Rockets?
Talking about if the Lakers ended up playing the Clippers.
Okay.
Clippers, they're loaded. I don't get caught up in, what's wrong with the Clippers? They're cruising through the regular season. They're load managing. They're doing what they need to do to show up in the postseason. Now, you know,
they're doing exactly with Kawhi Leonard what the Rockets are doing with Westbrook. There have been a number of schedule losses this season where you look at like the Pistons loss or that Phoenix Suns loss right after the trade deadline where the Rockets, you know, they come out with, you know, maybe some lackluster energy or whatever. And you know who is Mr. Energy himself? Russell Westbrook.
That's,
you look at some of those losses and it's like it wouldn't have happened if he was playing.
And I mean, you know, the 0-27 and all that, we've heard it all. Chris Paul's hamstring. Bottom line is, when the game was on the line, Chris Paul did win you some games in the fourth quarter, but he didn't do it with the type of reckless abandon,
conviction?
Athleticism. Yeah, just ferocity that can, I would say, intimidate a defense that's trying to hold on to a lead, trying to come back in a game, what have you. If you're having to, I mean, listen, I know they end up losing the game on a heartbreaking shot. I have never thought I would see Rudy Gobert get bodied by a guard the way he did the other night.
Oh, it was amazing.
I mean, and Russ is like welcoming it. That's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about his reckless abandon, his drives to the basket. Guy's fearless. And it's not just a catchy word to attach to it. He's literally does not fear anybody in front of him at the rim. He's going to get to that rim, and he's either going to get the basket or he's going to make you foul him 90% of the time. And that is an element they didn't have with Chris Paul. It's a different element. Chris Paul got you darn near to a champion. They should have won the championship in 2018.
They should have.
I'll never, ever be convinced otherwise. They would have if he hadn't gotten hurt. But I no longer fear late game situations. But the combination of him doing away with the three-point shot and just basically getting into game-playing shape. He didn't do any physical activity this offseason. People don't realize that. He had knee surgery, and he literally could not put weight on it. So he just didn't, I mean, you can still do some cardio and that kind of thing, but it's not the same as having an off season where he didn't have knee surgery.
And for a guy who relies on his explosiveness, his athleticism so much, you know, not being in the right shape, or the right shape, which obviously for 99% of human beings would be, you know, ideal the way that he came into the season, we'd be like, oh, hell yeah, I look great.
Right.
You know, for him, it's not ideal shape because it doesn't allow him to do what he does best, which now you've said it before, he's played himself into shape. Well, he's at where he needs to be.
And so that brings us to the most important, you know, element of all, James Harden. If James Harden has a night that's not up to par, up to his standards, if he runs into that wall, or if he's just getting double teamed, triple teamed, quadruple teamed at half court, or his shot's just not falling, what have you, I don't think you could look at Chris Paul every single time and say, take over. Like, physically dominate, take over. He could, you know, old man YMCA game kind of take over.
Yeah.
Like that, with that mid-range, which he did in game 5,
yeah,
right before his hamstring popped.
All reliable.
But if you've got a guy like Russell Westbrook who draws that much attention, there aren't guys that were double-teaming and triple-teaming Chris Paul. That just wasn't happening. He's diminutive. He's a little guy. Russell Westbrook is a physical presence out there, and if things aren't going well for James Harden and you've opened up the floor the way you have because of the deals you've made, like I said, I'm not going to sit here and say they're the favorites for the title, or they even it might work, but I definitely, it's going to be must-see television. I'm not going to miss it.
You know, and so kind of, just to wrap things up, because we've expressed a lot of thoughts about this so far, about, you know, the Rockets, small ball, their chances, kind of moving into the second half of the season. When Adam and I sat down before the season started back in October, I asked Adam a series of kind of over-under questions. And, you know, so I just want to revisit those really quickly.
Oh, this should
you,
be
Adam.
Good.
And just kind of see, you know, surprisingly did pretty well. So okay. Let's see. So first question I had.
I don't even remember this, by the way.
I asked Rockets 55 wins over or under.
Okay.
So they're currently on pace for 52 wins, and okay, you picked the under on that.
Okay.
So one for you're
not
one
bad
for one so far. Now, next one was Harden. Will he average 36 points per game, over or under? Again, you picked the under, and currently Harden is averaging 35.3 points per game. Now, this one you still have a chance to maybe be wrong on,
mm-hmm,
because if he goes off again, and obviously he had that January really docked his numbers quite a bit. I mean, he had some really subpar games in January.
Did you see that list floating around today on Twitter of the amount of 40-point games of active players in NBA history?
I haven't. No. What
well, number two on the list, I think, is LeBron with 40, maybe 50-something. James has 96. It's stupid.
Oh, my God.
Okay. He's got 96 40-point games. That's insanity to me.
He's
so that's why
the greatest scorers the game's ever seen.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Even Chuck has to give him props because he has. That's why that one might not hold. He might go back up to, but I don't know if that's a good thing. Maybe that's not good. If you're having to rely on him to do that every night, then what's going on with the rest of the team? Or what's that doing to him for the long term?
That's very true. So maybe it's not the best thing. However, I will note, and I think if I remember properly, I think the Rockets are 17-2 when he scores 40+.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
and they just lost
that
game. I think the Utah game he had 40 in. It was one of those games recently where
they might
two...
be 17-3 then, because I remember the last time I sent out that stat, it was like 17 wins and like 2 or 3 losses. So if the Utah game was another one, but either way, things tend to work out well when he goes 40+, mm-hmm, at least this season specifically. So we've got our next one. So that one may or may not change, may or may not hold. Our
to
next one
determined.
Though, Westbrook averaging a triple double. So we weren't sure on that one, and you picked the under on that one as well. In fact,
he wouldn't.
You said he wouldn't average a triple-double. And in fact, you highlighted the fact, and I went back and looked at this because I re-listened to the podcast and everything. You said that if it was not going to be a triple-double, it was going to be because his assists were way down. And that's exactly what's happened. His assists are hovering about 7.2, 7.3 right now, mm-hmm, somewhere around there. So his assist numbers have dropped a little bit. He's averaging 8 rebounds per game.
Which is standard.
Standard.
Except
for,
you know, those 2 seasons where he did, or was it 3 straight seasons?
He's had 3 straight seasons, yeah, where he averaged a triple double, which is why, but, you know, coming here, having James, who is, you know, a stat monster himself, you know, not necessarily hunting rebounds, which, just to clear up a narrative, Westbrook hasn't hunted rebounds all season.
Not here.
Like, he just, you know, I've watched him just let rebounds sail out of bounds when he could have very easily, you know, plucked it out of the air and, you know, maybe risked turning the ball over, stepping on the out of bounds line. I don't think he chases stats.
Which might go back to what you were talking about with James scoring, where he's not caught up in that narrative, maybe.
He just wants to win.
It's a little bit, both these guys, they're on unfortunately, the wrong side of 30, if you will. They've done it with different variations of both of their teams. And that's what you said right there. I think is right. They both just, they want to win.
Did you read the GQ article that came out?
Okay, so I've seen the photos, and yeah, yet I haven't. But how can you miss them? They're everywhere. And I haven't had a chance to read the article yet. It's, I guess, a couple days ago it came out?
Yeah. In fact, I think it was yesterday, in fact.
I saw a snippet today, but not the whole thing.
Amazing article. Definitely, you know, when you have a chance, sit down, read it. You know, in that article, you know, Westbrook basically, I think it was Westbrook who said, obviously it was one of them, but I think it was Westbrook who said, you know, on an individual level, he and James Harden have achieved almost everything you can, you know, as an NBA player. You know, MVPs, you know, all NBA selections. You know, they've led their team multiple times, you know, as the guy to the playoffs. Now the last thing on their list is to win a championship. And, you know, if they can win a championship, you know, through the power of friendship, you know, that would be one of the coolest storylines in NBA. Like, I would love for those two guys to win a championship just to prove all of the haters wrong, just to shut everybody up. It would be a storybook ending, honestly.
I would be insufferable.
Oh, absolutely. And I would expect nothing less.
The thing about that championship under this these circumstances in this season, it would be so unexpected. It would be so out of left field, and it would be so what Houston needs considering what's happened with the Astros. You know,
and just the Texans too. You know, we'll lump them in.
Texans. I can't. I just they were title favorites or in the conversation. They were the only team that ever pushed the Warriors that wasn't in the finals already, you know, coming out of the East with LeBron. Ever. Like, that machine, no one ever touched them in the West. Not even close, except for the Rockets.
The 17-18 team was an all-time great team that went up against an even better all-time great team.
The 17-18 team, if you were to pit it against both title teams, I don't know that they win. I don't know that the title teams win, which is...
saying a lot.
That's saying a lot. But it's a different game, you know? What rules are you playing under?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's always hard to compare eras.
That first team was an all-time defensive. You got Max D-ing up on James. You got
obviously
Hakeem.
Obviously, Olajuwon locking down the paint.
Right. So, I you know, Hakeem would have dominated Clint. But that's how good that team was. So that's why that one hurt, especially because he just didn't feel like you didn't get a fair shake. You know, I love people say, well, Kevin Durant went down. So you missed your opportunity, as if he didn't have three other Hall of Famers in the lineup still when he went down with that catastrophic injury. I mean, it took literally him, Klay Thompson, and Steph Curry getting gassed because all of a sudden he had to actually carry a team for a change to get the Toronto Raptors to win that NBA championship. The Rockets pushed that team largely with James Harden and a less than 100% Chris Paul in his entire tenure, which was all of 2 years here in Houston. Think about that. That's how good James Harden is.
That's how good James Harden is. And I think that's probably a great spot to leave off, you know, just talking, obviously, you know, just appreciating the greatness that is James Harden. But you know the drill, Adam. Where can we find you? You know, go ahead and plug all your stuff.
Twitter, at Adam Clanton. I'm usually fighting with someone there. If you do the Instagram thing, it's basically, you know, pics of the kid and or, you know, my infamous good morning videos. I think I had to do an underscore on that one because some guy at Adam Clanton stole it. So it's at Adam underscore Clanton. And occasionally I'm on Facebook, but just mainly Twitter is what I would go at Adam Clanton.
All right. Well, as always, we appreciate you having or appreciate having you on here, I should say. Wow. And as always, thank you all so much for listening. And we look forward to having you back here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.